God is good, very, very good. He's good all the time. When it comes to this topic of witchcraft, witchcraft goes mainstream. That's my topic today. This is definitely a Bible subject. It's in the Bible. If you have your Bible, I invite you to open up to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read a couple of texts before we have prayer. And I want to tell you that I have definitely sensed strongly that the Lord has led me into this topic, this arena. I've done a lot of research on a lot of subjects. Most of the books I've written and programs that we've done have to do with prophecy, the Left Behind series, of course you know, and other topics, Israel, the Antichrist, Armageddon, many of these subjects. And it's just been, I don't know, about a year ago that the Lord unexpectedly moved me into this area to study about witchcraft. It started with writing a little book for Amazing Facts that they asked me to write. And then step by step by step, this thing has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. And I believe that when my talk is over today, you will sense the importance of what this is about and how God definitely wants a voice, lots of voices, many voices, to be dealing with this subject right now in our generation as we are rapidly moving toward the return of Jesus Christ. I want to read a text here in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19, part of 20, and part of 21. Galatians 5, verse 19. Paul wrote this. I'm reading from the King James Bible. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry. And what's the next word after idolatry? Okay, some Bibles, the King James says witchcraft. Some Bibles say sorcery. These are words listed in the Bible as manifestations of the flesh, witchcraft, and it lists other things. At the end of verse 21, Paul said, I tell you that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So this is definitely a Bible subject, and it's one that the Lord warns us about, not only in this verse, but in many, many other verses. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Father, in the name of Jesus, our precious Savior, the light of the world, the one who loves every person, who loves us, who loves people and religions around the world, and who loves those that have chosen to get involved in witchcraft. Lord, you love them too. And you want to reach out to them with the gospel, with your goodness, and bring them to you. And we pray that as we get into this topic this morning, that the Holy Spirit will be here, that you will surround all of us with your grace and with angels, that you will bless this presentation, help us to sense the significance of what is going on right now around the country and around the world in this area. And we pray that you will continue to open doors for the light of Jesus to shine all over the planet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, here we go. Witchcraft goes mainstream. I'm going to push my little button there. Oh, look at that. Oh, hey. That's a picture of Seth. How'd he get into this presentation? Here I am talking about witchcraft. There, my first slide is Seth. That's one of my favorite pictures. We just took it recently. I love that slide. I thought I'd show that to you. And there is a reason why I showed you this slide. And I'll tell you the reason. Right before Seth was born, actually just a couple months before, this was in May of last year, Kristen and I were right around the corner at a medical building, and we were waiting in the lobby to see her OBGYN, who was monitoring the progress of her pregnancy, right before Seth was born. And I still remember to this day, just 3 minutes from here, sitting in the lobby, And the two of us are waiting quietly, you know, for the nurse to come or someone to come and say, it's time to come in for your appointment. And we're sitting there reading and just, you know, passing the time. And all of a sudden, a woman walked in to the lobby. She was probably in her 20s, I'd say maybe late 20s. She had long dark hair. She was dressed in black, which was a little bit unusual for a spring day in May. And she was carrying a book. And she had just a mysterious air about her. And she walked in, and she sat right in front of us, right across the way. And she took out her little book, and I noticed that there was a picture of a moon on the cover of the book, a full moon. And she started reading that book. And my mind started thinking, you know, well, moons are definitely into witchcraft, and she's dressed in black in May. Which doesn't necessarily mean something, but it could mean something. And I couldn't see the title of the book, but I just, you know, I didn't try. I tried not to be too conspicuous, and I glanced at her. And then I looked away, and within a couple minutes, the nurse came to the door and called out, Kristen Wahlberg, it's time for your appointment. And so we stood up, and we walked toward the door, and as I stood up, I glanced again, and I noticed that she was wearing a necklace. And there was a five-pointed star with a circle around it, which is called a pentacle or a pentagram. Now, whether this woman right around the corner from here was a practicing witch or not, I can't say. But I can tell you that the signs certainly fit. In case you haven't noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but modern witchcraft is definitely dramatically on the rise in our society. Big time. It is the modern phrase is called Wicca witchcraft. It's also called the old religion, and it's also called the craft for short many times. It is not only growing in the United States, but around the world. Old and young, all ages, especially teenagers these days, are visiting websites, popular Wiccan websites, and there's a ton of them on the internet. They're buying spell books. They are mixing potions. They're joining covens, and they are practicing magic. Just within the last year and a half, this has been definitely noticed by national media. It has become so big that a number of stories have come out from the likes of National Public Radio. All Things Considered aired a nationwide story on this in October. Let me see, I've got the article here. Actually, it wasn't October, it was May. May 13, 2004. And it had a number of parts. And the fourth part was called Teens and Wicca. Teens and Wicca. And I've got it right here. It says, Barbara Haggerty, who's a reporter for NPR, looks at the popularity of Wicca, or witchcraft, among young people. Teens seem to be drawn to Wicca, among other reasons, because it can be tailored to the individual's needs. Some of the teens' parents are Wiccans themselves, but other parents are alarmed. So there's an NPR story. Another story that came out same year, last year, this was in October of 2004, there's a publication called Religion Link that gets sent out to reporters across the country so they can get the latest news on what are the cutting-edge stories. And this particular article in Religion Link was called Wicca Moves into the Mainstream. And it says here, Wiccans are smashing stereotypes. As their movement matures throughout the country, Wiccans are organizing congregations and youth groups. They're training clergy. They're pushing charity work, they're sharing pagan parenting tips and fighting for their civil rights. All experts agree that Wicca is growing from small towns to big cities to military bases. And then it says, why does this matter? The reason is because Wicca has enchanted pop culture and many teenagers. So there's another article. Here's one that came out in the same year, 2004. And this was November. We did the May story, the October story. Here's the November story. This is just a few months ago. This was a major article that appeared on BeliefNet, which is a very well-known website that has all kinds of religious material. And this article was called The Witch Next Door. The pagan spiritual path is enjoying vast popularity and is experiencing widespread acceptance. And it even says here that Wicca may in fact be the fastest growing religious movement in the United States. Fastest growing movement in the U.S. right now. And there's a lot of people that are saying that. It is being practiced by doctors, by lawyers, by salespeople, by CEOs, by mechanics, by teachers, by students, by housewives, by just about anybody in our society. Not people that are on the fringes, but people that are in the mainstream. Let me just ask you, how many of you know anybody or has met anybody that's been involved in Wicca? Any hands? Okay, look at that. Well, there's the answer. I was thinking maybe just a few hands would come up, and then I would say, well, you probably have met them anyway, you just didn't know it. But you already know it. You've raised your hands. Wicca is strong in the military right now through the pagan military network. It's strong in the government. It has been federally recognized by the United States government as a legitimate religion. It is strong on high school and college campuses across America. This next slide shows a rather spooky-looking picture on the cover of a book called Rocking the Goddess. Campus Wicca for the Student Practitioner by Anthony Page. It also mentions there in the back cover that Wicca is the fastest growing religion in America. It thrives on college campuses. This book charts the growth of Wicca on campuses. And at the back of the book, there's a whole list of colleges all over the United States, in just about every state, that has pagan student associations. And it talks all about its growth among the kids, teenagers, and high school students. When I was in high school, I went to North Hollywood High. And I can't remember ever hearing anybody talk about witchcraft. Not once. I mean, we had gangs and people talked about drugs and about different things and, you know, all kinds of normal things that high school people talk about. But they never talked about witchcraft. But times have changed. Times have changed. Big time. Sherry Lavins. I don't know, is she still here? She's there in the back. She was just telling me I think it was Wednesday night for prayer meeting, that she, when she goes to the prison in San Luis Obispo, that many times she'll see in the parking lot somebody's car that the license plate says 100% Wiccan. Something like that. Somebody else, I think it was Vicki Lewis, just told me not long ago that they were driving down the highway and they saw another license plate that said The Craft. Isn't that right? Somebody's license plate said The Craft there. You remember Shay? How many of you remember Shay? Shay was baptized here a number of months ago, and she's now living in Burbank. She was involved in Wicca at one point. And when she found out that we were doing a documentary on this topic and a TV series, I asked her, I said, Shay, would you be willing to drive to Loma Linda where my associate's down there, Costin Jordash, and she can interview you on this subject? And she said, well, I don't know, it's kind of a little ways away. And she said, I've got a better idea. She said, why don't you interview a real witch? She said, I've got a good friend of mine. Her name is Diana. I've known her for a long time. She said she's a kick. She said she's funny, you'll really like her, and she's totally into Wicca. She said, why don't you call her up and interview her yourself? So she gave me her phone number. And I thought, well, okay. So I said a prayer and called her up one day and actually talked to her for an hour on the phone. An hour. And when we were done with that conversation, she was very interested in me sending her a copy of The Desire of Ages and reading it cover to cover because she's searching. She's searching. And so we sent her, I think Sherry or Cindy, sent her the book and another book. She was also interested in reading Will My Pet Go to Heaven? She had heard about that book and really wanted it. So that was quite a conversation. Why are so many teenagers today getting involved in Wicca witchcraft? Why is that? Well, there's a number of reasons, but let me tell you one of the biggest ones. One word, and the word is Hollywood. Hollywood. Let me just show you some slides here. In the last few years, the last 10 years or so, Hollywood has come out with an increasing array of popular movies and TV shows that talk about witchcraft and spells and potions and present these things in a very intriguing and positive light, such as this one, Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Most of you have heard of this. It was a TV series. I don't know if it's current right now, but you can find this description. It says there, she is a girl with supernatural powers who learns to use her witchcraft wisely. That's example number one. Buffy the Vampire Slayer has been one of the most popular series of television shows for teenagers that has ever hit planet Earth coming out of Hollywood. Buffy has a close friend in the series. Her name is Willow, also nicknamed the Willow Witch, and she practices Wicca and witchcraft. And then there's the Charmed series. Now, this is still running. Charmed series is still out there. It's on television networks around the world about three sexy sorceress sisters who, quote, use their individual powers as good witches to battle the forces of evil. This is a recent issue of People magazine. Here's Brad Pitt on the cover. And when you read the inside, there's a series of articles and ads, and here's one for the Charm series. This just came out. There's the three sorceress sisters, and it says, your witch has been granted. Charm finally arrives on DVD. Fall under their spell February 1st. This just came out. Just another ad talking about witchcraft. Now look at those ladies there. That's really a rather modest picture of them compared to other pictures which I chose not to put on the screen. But if you look at those three, let me ask you, do they look like witches to you? They don't. When you think of a witch, what do you normally think of? You think of an old lady with a big nose, you know, and some bumps on her nose or something, riding a broomstick. That's the old version of what witches look like. But I want to tell you something. Times have changed. Times have changed. And now the witches that are being promoted on TV, they're young, they're pretty, they're sexy, they're exciting, and they've got power, magical power, to perform spells. That's what's happening in Hollywood. Now, those were just a few TV series. Here's a few movies that came out. This one, I believe, came out in 1996. The Craft. It was a big hit among teenagers about a coven of witches who are still in high school. That was a major blockbuster. Then there's The Witches of Eastwick, starring Jack Nicholson and Michelle Pfeiffer and Cher. And this is about three women who practice witchcraft for entertainment. There's another one. And then, of course, there's Practical Magic, starring none other than Sandra Bullock and Nicole Kidman. This was a movie that came out just a few years ago, and it's about two sisters, quote, who stay up late and study spell books and practice white magic. And then above all, there's Harry Potter. The Harry Potter books and the Harry Potter movies have been out since, I think it's 1998. They're huge successes. I mean, bigger, they've broken all publishing records. They're making seven. Warner Brothers is making seven movies based upon the seven books. The sixth book is coming out this July. Time magazine right there, June 23rd, 2003. Page 6 says, J.K. Rowling, the author of the series, has mesmerized an entire generation of kids. All of these Hollywood productions present witchcraft and spells and potions in a very fun, cool, interesting and intriguing light for young people, especially young girls. And that is what kids are being bombarded with when they turn on the TV set or if they go to these movies. So that's one big reason is Hollywood. Now a second big reason is the internet. The internet is fueling the growth of the craft across America and around the world. And probably the two biggest reasons are people can go online and they can be private, and they can be anonymous, and they can connect with all kinds of people and do all kinds of research, and nobody will even know where they're going, what websites they're looking at. There's all kinds of websites for teenagers to explore witchcraft with other teenagers, lots of them. There are chat rooms There are places where they can order supplies and wands and spell books where they can network together. Here's a book called Witchcraft and the Web, Weaving Pagan Traditions Online. And guess where you can find this book? Walmart.com. It's about covens. It says covens and information on witchin rituals, beliefs, and spell work are just a mouse click away. And it's because of the internet that these things are being accessible very easily to kids all over the world. Now, another big reason, not just Hollywood, and it's not just the internet, it's also the availability of books. And I'm going to push my little button here, and I'm going to show you a series of books. And I haven't read all those books, but I got the pictures, all from one website. And you don't have to go to an occult bookstore in some New Age shop or the cult section in San Francisco or somewhere else to find these books. All the books that I'm going to show you, guess where you can find them? Every single one of them is found on Walmart.com. That's right. Shocking, isn't it? Okay, here we go. Let me just show you some of these. Here's a couple of them. These are new books. Witch, A Magical Journey, A Hip Guide to Modern Witchcraft by Fiona Horn. Here's another one called The Truth About Witchcraft Today by Scott Cunningham. Does that lady look like a witch? Well, that's the way witches look these days. That's what's happening. There's just two books. Here's some more. Practical Guide to Witchcraft and Magic Spells. Take Advantage of the Natural Forces of Life. There's another one, The Wiccan Book of Days. Tabitha Jennings wrote this one, Day by Day Wicca. There's Empowering Your Life with Wicca by Sirona Knight. If you go on to Walmart.com and just type in the word Wicca or witchcraft, you'll see all these books. Pages after pages after page, page after page of books that talk about this. Here's another one. What's your Wicca IQ? And there's the Everything Wicca and Witchcraft book. Unlock the secrets of ancient rituals, spells, blessings, and sacred object. These books are not just written for women, but for men. Although it's really big among women, it's also for men too. There's 21st Century Wicca, A Young Witch's Guide to Living the Magical Life. And there's Sons of the Goddess, A Young Man's Guide to Wicca. So it appeals to the women, it appeals to the men. They look at the Charm series, they look at Harry Potter. They say, hey, I'd like to check this out, and I'd like to learn about these things. Here's some more. Embracing the Moon, a witch's Guide to Ritual Spellcraft and Shadow Work. And then there's the Book of Wicca. Bring love, healing, and harmony into your life with the power of natural magic. So they sound pretty positive, don't they? I mean, that's the way this is being portrayed, very positively. There's the Book of Shadows by Phyllis Kuroh. She's she used to work for NPR. She's a major author who's a bestseller. She's been interviewed by media. She's big. And then there's Wiccan Candle Magic, another book. Here's a couple more. The Triumph of the Moon by Ronald Hutton, and ABC of Witchcraft by Doreen Valiente. Now, here's a couple that deal with white magic, and that's basically what Wicca promotes, white magic. Helping yourself with white magic, the magic power of white witchcraft, revised for the millennium. Their appeal is that they're not saying it, they're not teaching anything dark. They're not involved in black magic, they're involved in white magic. And white magic, they say, is tapping into the powers of nature, tapping into various powers, and channeling that power for good purposes. Help you with your homework, help you with your love life, help you with family problems, help you with your finances. They're all calling this white magic. Now here's a couple of books for lovers. Tabitha Jennings wrote all about the Wicca of Love. And then that one says, Wicca for Couples, Making Magic Together. So they're saying, hey, want to spice up your love life? Try Wicca. And a lot of people are doing it. Now here's a series of books for teenagers. And these are all on Walmart.com. Okay, here's Elements of Witchcraft by Ellen Dugan. Natural Magic for Teens. And the other one called Where to Park Your Broomstick. A Teen's Guide to Witchcraft. Teenagers, a teenager's guide. To have them get into this and check it out. These two books are written by Silver Ravenwolf. She is one of the biggest best-selling Wiccan authors in the United States. She wrote these two books, To Ride a Silver Broomstick, New Generation Witchcraft, and To Light a Sacred Flame, Practical Witchcraft for the Millennium. And she wrote this book, Teen Witch, and I've got it right here. Teen Witch, Wicca for a New Generation. Practical advice, it says, for dealing with everyday life in a magical way. This book is amazing. It's full of what she considers to be friendly spells, friendly potions. The first couple chapters, there's one chapter here called Just for Parents, so that if your son or your daughter happens to come home with this book and you get nervous about it, then they'll share. She has a chapter just for you, for the parents, so the parents can read this chapter and realize that, hey, there's nothing bad in here, nothing dangerous in here. Wicca's okay. It's a healthy religion. And so just, you know, calm down, parents, and don't fret when your child starts reading this book. That's her first chapter, just for parents, trying to help parents understand these things. Now here's the one I showed you before, Rocking the Goddess, Wicca Thriving on College Campuses. Here's a couple more. Can you believe this? Wicca and Witchcraft, The Complete Idiot's Guide. And there's Wicca and Witchcraft for Dummies. So if you've heard all about this and you want to know, this is a simple way, they're saying, for people to learn all about this. And then there's Pop Goes the Witch. And this is a disinformation guide trying to help all the parents and all the people of society to understand the truth about how modern Wicca witchcraft is not dangerous, it's not bad, it's white magic, it's friendly, it's good, it's positive. And this particular book has an all-star cast of witches and Wiccans, covering an amazing array of topics. And here's one more book here called When Someone You Love is Wiccan. You would think, of course, a book like this would have to come out, by Carl McColeman. And this is a guide to witchcraft and paganism for concerned friends, for nervous parents, and curious co-workers. So this is for people who have loved ones that are getting involved in Wicca, and if people that are into Wicca have a parent that's concerned, then they just give them this book. They'll say, here, Mom, here, Dad, read this. Don't worry. Just read this, and now you'll understand. So we have three reasons why Wicca witchcraft is rapidly growing right now across the United States and around the world. Even in the last year and a half, major media stories like NPR have been talking about this. Number one is Hollywood. Hollywood productions. Number two is the internet, the accessibility of all of these things. And number three is books. The books that are out there with neat covers that have attractive words in them that are drawing people more and more and more to get into this subject. Now, those are the outer reasons. Hollywood, the internet, and books. What about the inner reasons? What is leading people to get into this on the inside? There's a lot of reasons, and I don't have time to go into all the reasons from what I've discovered. There are a lot of reasons why people are getting into this, especially teenagers, but I can tell you there's one big reason, and that is the desire for power. Desire for power. Big reason. And it's a fact that people do need power today. Right? I mean, we have to be careful how we go with this. There is a power that we do need, and there's a power that we don't need. Right? And we need to be clear on that. But it's because of power. People are looking for power because they feel powerless. Our society is filled with powerless people, such as you and me, and everybody else. People are feeling helpless, they're feeling overwhelmed with life, the stresses of life, and they're trying to get strength to cope with stress, to improve their lives, to change their world. A lot of people are dissatisfied. Now listen to this. A lot of people are dissatisfied with organized religion because they have not found that religion offers them any real practical power in their lives. And so, they're checking out Wicca. That's what's happening. Is this enlightening? This is what's happening. This is what's happening around the country and around the world. Now, let's go back to our Bibles. Turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And let's just talk a little bit about power. That's really the one thing I'm going to focus on today. This is actually part one of a five-part series. But I'm not going to give you all five parts. I'm giving you part one, and I'm practicing on you. Because we're going to be filming this very soon, in a week. Acts chapter 26. Let's look at the 18th verse. This is a very amazing and important verse. Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Everybody got it? Take a look at your Bible. This is what... Now, this is Jesus actually talking to Paul when he called him away from his old life, and he gave him a mission to go to the Jews and to the Gentiles with his gospel. And at the end of verse 17, he said, I'm sending you out. Verse 18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to what? To light. And from the power of who? Of Satan to God. Right, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now this verse is loaded with information. This verse is present truth in the light of what's happening in our society. Let me share with you something extremely important. I showed you one of those books called Pop Goes the Witch, the Disinformation Guide. And there's a massive PR campaign going on right now among those that are involved in Wicca, trying to help society to understand what modern witchcraft really believes. And they're doing it to try to counteract all what they see as misinformation that is coming from Christians. That's why they're putting out books like this. I showed you the book with the girl on the cover called The Truth About Witchcraft Today by Scott Cunningham, best-selling author. This is what he says, and this is extremely important to realize. Well, actually, I'm going to quote that verse in a second, that book in a second. First, I'm going to show you a statement from Teen Witch. A lot of people today think, a lot of Christians think, that witchcraft, when they think of witchcraft, they think of Satan worship, don't they? They think of people going out into the night and sacrificing animals or even people and drinking blood and worshiping the devil. Now, there are some people that do that. They're out there, but not most modern Wiccans. In fact, most modern Wiccans, if not almost all of them, they don't believe in a devil at all. They're not devil worshippers. They don't even believe that Satan exists. Here's a statement right from the witch's mouth. It says here, witches don't believe in the devil. The devil belongs to the Christian religion, not the old ways. So one of the fundamental doctrines of modern witchcraft is that there is no devil. That's just the Christian view. That's just what Christians read in their Bibles, but they don't buy it for a minute. And so Wiccans believe that the power that they get through witchcraft comes from nature, connecting with nature. They believe it comes from the goddess or Mother Nature. They believe it comes from their view of God and the spirits. That's where it comes from. They also believe, and this is very important to understand, that the power that they get is not good or evil, but it's neutral. That's the philosophy of modern witchcraft. This book by Scott Cunningham, The Truth About Witchcraft Today, this is what it says here on page 39. It says, the power at work in folk magic is just that. It's just power. It is neither positive nor negative. It is neither good nor evil. That's what they believe. It is the intention and the goal of the magician working with it that determines whether the energy is used for helpful or harmful ends. So their basic philosophy there, right from the mouth, is that the power that they're accessing, that they need, isn't good, it's not evil, it's just neutral. And if they use that power and channel it for good purposes, then what are they? They're good witches. They're good Wiccans. And if they use that power and channel it for evil purposes, then they're bad Wiccans. That's the difference between white magic and black magic. And all the TV shows that are out there, they're all portraying these people who are practicing white magic and who are trying to counteract evil through the use of their powers channeled for good. That's the whole philosophy. Now here's the rub. When you look at your Bible and you look at the verse that we just read carefully in verse 18, how many powers are there in this world? There's two powers. Right. And those two powers are not neutral. They're not generic. These powers are either perfectly moral or dangerously sinister. If you look at the verse again, Jesus sent Paul to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. See that? The power of Satan to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, put on the whole armor of God. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. So, according to modern witchcraft, and this is something we need to know if we try to reach these people, is that they see only one power, a neutral power, that can be used for good or bad. The Bible says that there's two powers. There's the power of Satan and the power of God. Do you see that? Two powers. And we are in the middle and we have to choose which power is going to be in control of our lives. Are you with me? And this is one of the things that's so dangerous about Wicca, is this. They don't believe in the devil. There is no devil. And if they don't believe in the devil, and then they start tapping into powers, which obviously they think don't come from him, because they don't believe in him, and they think the power is neutral, but it's not, and they open themselves up to being entered and to being invaded by dangerous satanic forces that they've dropped their guard and aren't worried about at all because they don't think there's anything evil about it in the first place. You see the danger? That is the setup that the devil is pulling over millions of kids, teenagers, young adults right now in this world. And that is one reason why modern Wicca is so dangerous. This scripture says, Jesus said he was sending Paul to open their eyes. People need their eyes open today, don't you think? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Now, here's another very important point. Extremely important. One of the reasons why Wicca is so appealing to this generation is because it is offering people power that they don't have to give up sin in order to get. That? They're offering people power that they don't need to change in order to get. And that is very appealing to people today. Extremely appealing. If you look back at Acts 26:18, notice what Jesus said. He said to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. See the word turn? Do all your Bibles have the word turn there? To turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. Witchcraft also doesn't believe in sin. No devil, no sin, no heaven, no hell. All that's just imaginary that's coming from Christians. They don't believe any of that. But the fact is, there is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a devil, and there is sin. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. If you go back down to verse 20, at the end of verse 20, Paul talked about the rest of the world, Jews and Gentiles. He said that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. In the Bible, there's two powers. And the only way that we can connect with God's power is by first making a choice that we're going to give up sin. That we're going to turn from what is wrong. As it says, repent and turn to God. You see that? And I think there's a lot of people, not just out there in the world, but even in a lot of churches, that think they can just access God's power and have power in their lives without repentance. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way. And if we don't access God's power, then whose power are we opening ourselves up to? The other power. That's right. Because ultimately, we're either going to be controlled by one power or the other. And the only way to have God's power is to make a choice to turn from the darkness to the light. To turn from sin to Jesus. That's extremely important. And witchcraft is offering people power without repentance. And it's very appealing to the modern human heart, isn't it? It's very, very appealing to the modern heart. I want to tell you in a little bit of time that I've got just a little bit more to do before we wind this up. There is a lady that I have been in touch with through email regularly. Her name is Pam. She's given me permission to share her story. Pam grew up a Christian. She left. And she went into Wicca witchcraft. She had a terrible experience. And she finally got out of it. She actually, Lonnie Malashenko connected me to her because Lonnie knows all about this topic and he said, Steve, you need to get a hold of Pam. And so Pam and I have been communicating and she's written me quite a bit. Things like this. I tried to kill myself 3 times. I was diagnosed with multiple personality disorder. She ended up in a mental health institute. She said, it's true, I did have multiple personalities. But of what source? Where did these personalities come from? Then she says, I was Wiccan. I was into witchcraft. She said, I had the books, the wand, the cauldron, the candles, the altar, the jewelry, the ruins, everything. Thousands of dollars worth. But then, through a whole series of events, she began to study the Bible. She started having Bible studies. She says here, I think most people who are attracted to Wicca do it for the same reasons that I was. The need for power. To protect oneself. But also the need to worship, and especially the need to belong. The insidious part is that power is actually taken away from you. And the protection you think you're getting is all a facade. Wicca is not a game to play at. It is pure witchcraft and entirely of the devil. Don't play with it. It's not fun. It may look fun. All those books may look fun. But it's very, very dangerous. She says, there are some that argue that there is white or good magic and black evil magic. This is not true. All witchcraft, all sorcery, all incantations, all rites and ceremonies that invoke gods and goddesses are evil. Very, very evil. She said, I could always tell when an evil presence was coming over me. It's like all of a sudden your thoughts are dark, your emotions are muted, and you feel like you're all powerful. Now here's a woman that was there. And she felt it. It came into her. And she said she felt like she was powerful. All powerful. That's the appeal. And then she goes on and describes a pretty amazing chain of events that took her right into from the midst of Wicca to facing Jesus Christ head on. To facing Jesus Christ head on. And as time went on, through His incredible providence, His mercy, she said now, it's only been a few weeks since I absolutely turned myself over to Christ. It just about overwhelms me when I think of where I've been and where I am now. Lonnie is going to baptize her in April. He's coming to her church. He's going to baptize her, and she's very, very excited. She's also writing up her testimony for me in a more detailed way. share with others at the right time. Pam is someone whose eyes have been opened, who's been turned from the darkness to the light, from the power of Satan to God. And I might say, to the superior power of Jesus Christ. Amen? Satan does have power, according to this verse. The power of Satan. And he's convincing people that there is no Satan. And they can access power that's neutral power. And they don't realize that there is a Satan, and his power is evil. And God is trying to turn them away from that. Turn them to Him so they can receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in Me. And that shows that the power of Jesus is for a purpose. And the purpose is to sanctify us. I was talking with Ivor about this the other day, and he made a very insightful comment. And that is that Satan does have power, but he has no power to help you do right. No power to help you do right. He doesn't have that power. God's power is moral. God's power is holy. God's power is good. And He gives us His power to sanctify us, to raise us up, and to help us to do right. Amen. Are you with me? And that's the power that we need. And that's the power that the world needs. But we have to make a choice to give up the dark in order to come to the light. And when you pit the power of Satan versus the power of God, who's stronger? There's no question about it. God is much more powerful than Satan, principalities, powers, and all the forces of evil. So why has the Lord led me into this subject? I didn't plan on this. Started with Amazing Facts asking me to write a book for them. And then Destiny Image, my other publisher, said, if you'll take that little book and make it into a bigger book dealing with Wicca and witchcraft, we will really promote it if you're willing to do it. So I prayed about it, and the more I read, it just seemed to me, it was clear. The Lord was leading me step by step by step to enter this topic. And the reason is because there's a lot of people out there who need their eyes open. Because we're dealing with a major cultural cutting trend that's happening right now. And God wants to reach people with the gospel, just like that lady I talked to on the phone, Diana, for over an hour. And when we were done, she said, I'd like to read the book Desire of Ages. I really would. Send it to me, please. And I said, you can consider me your pastor. And she said, can I have your address and I can write you and ask you more questions? Sure. And so if she writes, hopefully she will. She's a good friend of Shay's, and we're both praying for her. Both praying for her. The biggest part, the most important part of God's power that's available to us is the power of love. That's the core of God's power that Satan doesn't have. There is no love in the heart of the devil. There is love in the heart of God. For you, for me, for your families, for your children, for Pam, for Diana, for people all over this world. And that is the power that people need. The power of the love of Jesus.